It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
Welcome to the Wolverine Confidential Podcast. I am Andrew Collins.
I'm Ryan Zook.
And I'm Aaron McMahon.
The Michigan football team will visit Maryland this Saturday. Can the Wolverines keep their Big Ten and playoff hopes alive? We discuss that and the men's basketball team's first loss in upcoming tournament and other sports too, right here on Wolverine Confidential. All right, guys, talking to you here on a Thursday morning, November 18th. Good to be with you. A lot to talk about. Let's get right into it with hoops. I was there at Chrysler. It was a doubleheader on Tuesday. The women's team thrashed UMass Lowell, improved to 3-0. Leah Brown didn't play. Kim Barnes-Rico said like she wasn't feeling well and went home at one point this season. But she did start the previous game and left that one with an injury a couple minutes in. So I don't know, a couple different things going on, but definitely something to monitor, especially with Amy Dilk, another starter, out for an extended time, but not the whole season. It looked much worse than it was, and they expect her to come back at some point. But I don't think it's going to be, you know, in the next week or two. But yeah, you know, a knee injury that's just going to take a little bit of time, but not necessarily a season ender. The men lost their first game of the season. They fell to 2-1, 67-65 to Seton Hall. Thoughts, Aaron? I know you caught some of the game. What were you thinking watching that one?
Seton Hall looks pretty good. They seem to have an experienced older team, kind of like Buffalo a little bit. And I think it's going to catch some people off guard. I mean, they're going to probably have a shot to win their conference. I thought they played, I don't know, you're the basketball guy, but I thought they played relatively well. Michigan just couldn't shoot from the perimeter. I mean, that seemed to be the difference maker. And then they missed a couple of free throws down the stretch there.
Yes. I mean, you know, people, they see that Seton Hall is not ranked. They're like, oh, this, you know, and it's in Michigan. But, you know, I tell them, who do you think's ranking these teams? Dopes like me. So what do we know? They'll be ranked now. You know, they're picked near the top of the Big East. I think it's fourth or fifth. Experienced team, you know, got some transfers in and some older guys. You know, their coach said they're ahead of the curve defensively already. So, and that showed against Michigan. So if we talk about the things that like Juwan Howard and the players said didn't go well, and then we can get into kind of what really went on. I don't mean it that way, but like, they harped on turnovers. Okay. There were some critical ones, but in the end, you know, Michigan turned it over on 16% of their possessions, and not to just get too far into the analytics, but like they had a higher rate of turnovers in most of their games last season, and they were pretty good at protecting the ball. So overall, that wasn't really a big issue. And talk about defense, because they talked about that as well. They were usually better than that last season, you know, but they still had 11 games that were worse, and Seton Hall still only scored 67 points. So defense overall, pretty good. Aaron mentioned the free throws. 10 of 12 for the game. Like they did miss the one they needed at the end and then made the one they needed to miss, but still good overall. Okay, so like the bottom line, like they needed to be just a little bit better in any one area and they win that game. That area that like I'm going to point out, Aaron mentioned, is the offense. It's just scoring. And there's a lot of reasons for that. Hunter Dickinson, like Michigan goes to him three times in a four possession span there in the second half. He scores twice, but then he misses a shot with 13:53 left. I have written down here. Michigan is up 11 points at this point. You know how many more times Hunter Dickinson took an official field goal after that?
I think one or two or zero.
Zero. Now he got fouled on one. So he got to the foul line. So, you know, but that doesn't count technically in the box score. So yeah, zero times after that. Now, he was out of the game, you know, for four of those minutes to get a breather, but that's still, you know, 11 game minutes without a shot. And, you know, I talked about this. I had a reader email me about it this after this game. And I remember last year, too, it happened like when your best player is, or arguably whatever, your best scorer, leading scorer, is a center you got to get him the ball. And I mean that literally, like he needs to be past the ball. He's not going to have the ball in his hand. So that's why guards end up taking most of these shots at the end of the games. And I don't know, is there really like a solution for that? You know, got to find ways to get him the ball, right?
You're right. You nailed it. I mean, when your best player isn't touching the ball or getting shots up, that's typically a problem. And that's typically not going to result in, you know, much success, especially against a team like Seton Hall, like where they're able to kind of chip away and hang around all game. Yeah, that's an issue. And it's probably a tactical thing. It's something I'm sure, I don't know how much Joanne addressed afterwards, but that's something they're going to seriously probably have to go back and obviously, you know, fix going forward.
Hunter was only 8 of 11 from the floor, so maybe he just wasn't being efficient enough for them, so they wanted to go for different guys.
Yeah, it's tricky, though, because, you know, like I said, you need someone to get him the ball. But Seton Hall was, you know, after the game, talking to Coach Kevin Willard, like, he was like, especially late, I wanted to make someone else other than Dickinson and Eli Brooks beat us. Like, we weren't going to let that pick and roll, which was working early, like, beat us. We were going to even play a little zone, keep our big man back, crowd the paint and take that away. So yeah, you need other guys to do it. And, you know, Devontae Jones, the grad transfer point guard, certainly didn't have his best game. He had played better in the first couple in the exhibition than he did in this game. Some costly turnovers and some costly fouls. That's kind of what you get a little bit with Jones as far as the fouls. He's much more aggressive defensively than Michigan's overall style. And yeah, I don't know. It's just interesting. Like, I found that fans seem to have a longer leash with even the freshmen. So the freshmen and Devontae Jones are obviously all first year players at Michigan, but those homegrown players, like, so to speak, like, I'm already seeing some like, this Devontae Jones guy, I'd rather roll the dice with Kobe Bufkin or Frankie Collins. You know, this guy came from Coastal Carolina, like, you know, lost the game anyway. I'm seeing some of that, and it's too early to me, but I get it to a certain extent that there's going to be maybe a little more, a bit of a longer leash, a little more leeway given to, you know, the freshmen that, you know, actually were recruited to come play at Michigan.
Hey, correct me if I'm wrong, but Devontae Jones, he's certainly going to have to cut down on the aggressiveness. That's 2 or 3 games he's fouled out. Is that right? He didn't foul out in the previous game.
Yes, correct.
Yeah, like that's a problem. So especially down the stretch in close games, you don't have your point guard there available. You know, not that he played particularly well the other night, but like, you want him there and on the floor, not only to distribute the ball, but defensively. Mm-hmm. When you're fouling out like that, that's not a good thing. You have to certainly cut down on that. And I will say, you mentioned the shooting. You know, Eli Brooks was fine. Devontae wasn't particularly good. You know, I was banging the drum the other day, or last week, I think, at Caleb Houston and Diabate. Like, they didn't play particularly well. I mean, it's probably, you know, expected given, you know, newcomers and freshmen and the like. But, you know, the one thing, question I have, and I don't know if you guys have an answer, you have an answer for this, Andrew, but like, it seems like Juwan's been rolling with an 8-man rotation. Is that the plan the entire season? Like, it seems a little small.
Yeah. I mean, he's been asked about this, you know, at various points throughout his 3 seasons. And I can't say he's been asked about it like in season yet this year, leading up to it. Yes. But not after any of the 3 games. But I can already tell you, like, he's just going to be like, you know, we're going to play the guys that are going to give us the best chance to win on any game, all hands on deck. I wish I could play everybody, things like that. But I found that's usually 8 guys is kind of what the teams are that like win national championships roll with for the most part. Seton Hall happens to be a little deeper, but yeah, it's hard. It's hard to get in the rhythm. It's hard. Usually, you know, the second 5 or, you know, after 7 or 8, like, there's a drop off there. I mean, the starters are the starters for a reason. You know, you want to give the most minutes to those guys, but yeah, you know, certainly Seton Hall's plan was to wear Michigan down to a certain extent. And, you know, whether it worked or not, you know, the overall result of beating Michigan, certainly you can't argue with that. So, yeah, they only went with 8 on Tuesday. You know, they don't have Zeb Jackson right now. He remains out with an illness. So, you know, that's another guy that you would expect to potentially be part of the rotation. But you want Brooks on the floor for the most part. You think you're going to want Jones on the floor. And you got this Kobe Bufkin kid as a freshman playing well. So there's only so many minutes, so many spots. So, but yeah, something worth monitoring going forward. So yeah, they go to, we'll just speak briefly. They're going to Vegas. They're already there for a tournament, this Roman main event at the MGM Grand. They will play UNLV, you know, the home team. Tip will be at Saturday, actually, at 12:30 a.m. Eastern time. So the clock will strike. You'll have your Friday. The clock will strike midnight. And then 30 minutes later, they'll tip off. So I don't know, take a little late early evening nap, I guess, Michigan fans, if you want to stay up for that one. But stay tuned for coverage on MLive.com/Wolverines. Wichita State and Arizona, the other 2 teams. Michigan would play one of those teams next, either for the championship or the consolation, Sunday night. None of the other teams are ranked. It's not the best field overall. Michigan, you know, favored to certainly to win this thing. But yeah, let's talk football. We got a game here Saturday at Maryland. 3:30 kick, yes?
3:30. I think it's the first 3:30 of the season.
Second 3:30.
Second, yeah.
Rutgers,
maybe.
Rutgers.
Yeah, there we go. Ah, yeah. But yeah, they've been few and far between here. Yeah, there's a lot to talk about. I've talked enough already. I don't know. You guys tell me about Maryland.
Well, they got an explosive. I said this to Zook the other day, and I think it's very apropos that they're almost like a poor man's Ohio State. Like, they're explosive offense. They can move the football and score points. Problem is, they just turn the ball over a ton. You know, they're very undisciplined, make a lot of mistakes. And I think, you know, this is very much going to be a tune-up game for the Ohio State game next week. I know the players and Jim Harbaugh don't want to really mention Ohio State or talk about it much. But you can't, you know, overlook the fact that you know, that game could very much, you know, help determine a lot of stuff. So, you know, Saturday is important in the fact that Michigan needs to win it. I don't think it really matters how they do it, whether it's a close game, blowout game. I don't think they just need to win the game and look decent doing it. But I think more importantly, it's kind of preparing this defense for the explosive Ohio State offense it's going to see, you know, in about 10 days. I mean, that is going to determine whether Michigan, you know, potentially gets into the Big Ten title game in the playoff. And I think that's what we're looking at Saturday. You know, it's in a way, it's, I guess you can call it a trap game. I think I mentioned this earlier this week on the pod, but I'm hesitant to do that just because Michigan's, you know, they've had success against Maryland in the past. They haven't really had any issues with this team. It is on the road. So that is a factor here, but Michigan has shown, you know, this season that they can go on the road and win games. And obviously they didn't do it in East Lansing, but last week they pulled out the gritty win in State College. They've obviously won at Wisconsin. So this is a game that Michigan probably will and should win. But, you know, all eyes and all focus really at this point, you know, especially from my perspective, is on that game next week against Ohio State. Not only that, but what happens this weekend elsewhere. I mean, Michigan does need Michigan State to lose to Ohio State. They're 19-point underdogs or 20-point underdogs, last I checked. It's a game Ohio State, again, should win. But, you know, it's things are certainly setting up for a big showdown next week in Ann Arbor.
Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to that Ohio State Michigan State game than this Michigan game. And luckily it's a noon kickoff, so should be able to catch most of that. So kind of know what's at stake when Michigan takes the field at Maryland. But yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if it's another field day for Michigan's pass rushers. You know, Maryland's gonna probably have to throw the ball 50 times because their defense can't stop anyone or hasn't been able to stop anyone this year. So don't be surprised if David Ojabo and Aiden Hutchinson are able to get to Talia Tagovailoa a lot again and kind of force him to get the ball out and probably into some tight coverages. Like, he's thrown a lot of touchdowns this year, but he's also thrown 10 interceptions in 10 games. So it could be a pretty good day for Michigan secondary as long as they don't get kind of burned in coverage and have any massive meltdowns in the secondary. So I'm expecting a convincing Michigan victory for sure.
Couple of statistical notes to pay attention to for Saturday. Hassan Haskins is 15 yards away from rushing for 1,000 for the season. And Aiden Hutchinson is 2 sacks away, I believe, from setting the single season.
Aiden and Ojabo are both.
Ojabo, they both have 10. Correct. Yeah. You're right. They're both at 10. They're both 2 sacks away from setting the single season record.
I know they didn't have a 1,000-yard rusher in a while, but did Haskins get it himself earlier in his career?
I think his high was 600 a couple years ago. He had 600.
Was Hayden the last one?
Yeah, I was just saying Hayden was the last one to do it.
Okay. Maybe it's a receiver, too, that they did. Maybe 1,000's not the yard, but whatever. It's been a while since they've had a big individual stat performer like that. Aaron, I know you know this, but just to clarify for the listeners, you know, as far as Michigan State losing again, it doesn't have to be this Saturday to Ohio State. I mean, that seemed the most likely outcome, but, you know, they then host Penn State to close the year. That loss would be just fine for Michigan, too. You know, as long as they're not tied with Michigan State in the loss column at the end of the year, like they are right now, since they lost the head to head. But yeah, obviously Michigan just has to win out. Now, Maryland, as far as this explosive offense, it is in the pass game. But, you know, I want to just remind our listeners, like, as far as total offense, Michigan averages more yards per game than Maryland, and we know how, you know, Michigan fans maybe feel about the Michigan offense. Now, you know, granted, Michigan's fourth, Maryland is fifth in that stat. Maryland does jump to third if you know just going by pass yards. So the flashiness of it and all that, fine, they're a little higher, but, you know, overall, it's not like they're not Ohio State, you know, up there at, you know, 550 yards a game. So I agree, especially with Michigan's pass rushers, it shouldn't be a huge problem. Can we talk about Cade McNamara a little bit, just because, you know, got to talk to him this week. I know you guys talked to Josh Gattis as well. You know, we can take this wherever you want, but I'll just start with Aaron. I saw your story today, you know, Josh Gattis talking about, you know, wins are, you know, the most important stat for a quarterback. And I just do always find that interesting. I think it's Mina Kimes, the good ESPN writer on Twitter, has in her bio, wins are not a QB stat. And I have always found that funny. Why are wins attributed to quarterbacks, but no other position? You never hear about all this left tackles got to all, you know, 100 career wins. Like, I get it. They're the most important player on the field. They influence the outcome of the game maybe more than anybody. But yeah, I mean, the flip side of that is, okay, well, maybe someone else could be winning too. But yeah, I think your story drove home the idea that he's really ultimate game manager, and there's nothing derogatory when I use that phrase.
No, and he's been asked to be the game manager. That's, I think, the key thing here. Cade can throw the ball. I mean, if you go back to high school, his stats, he put up a ton. He threw for a ton of yards. Like, he can do it. That's just not what he's been asked to do this year. As we saw earlier in the year, Michigan made a conscious effort to run the football early, as we saw, especially in those first four or five games. They felt like they had the running backs to do so. The offensive line experienced and you know, mature and older back, they thought they could run the football more than they did last year, and they did. Now, as we've seen as the season's gone on, Blake Corum has been sidelined. Cade has developed a little bit more. He's in more time out there. You know, they have thrown the ball a little bit more. They haven't had to lean on it. I think that's where folks maybe think, well, you know, maybe Cade's, you know, he's just not very good because they can't lean on him to throw the ball and win the game doing that. But that's not exactly how they're trying to play either. They don't want to have to do that. You know, keep in mind who and what we're dealing with here. Jim Harbaugh is the king of balance. He wants to run for 200 yards and throw for 200 yards. He's been saying that for years. He said it again this year. That's ideally how he wants to win football games. And Cade's fit the build is fine. He's not J.J. McCarthy. He doesn't have the arm strength he does. He doesn't have the playmaking flashy ability. That, as Josh Gattis said this week, they are 9-1. They are in the hunt for the Big Ten title. That's all you can ask for, you know, especially in a season. And I have to constantly remind folks of this. Michigan is only projected to win 7-8 games this year. They're now 9-1, far ahead of where they were expected to be, and in, you know, contention here of potentially upsetting Ohio State next week. It's a good point to bring up right now. The Vegas odds makers are starting to roll out lines for that game, and it is under a touchdown. You know, I remember a few weeks ago us discussing that. I predicted probably a 2-touchdown game. They think this game's going to be close. So Michigan is become clear to the odds makers and the folks behind the scenes that they have a shot to win. You know, if you're on the coaching staff perspective, you know, why would you risk, you know, moving your quarterback out for a quarterback who, again, J.J. McCarthy has looked fine, but he's been largely unproven, and he has shown that he can make mistakes as a true freshman.
I have a feeling that line could be moving up a little bit after this weekend's game against Michigan State. I mean, if Ohio State is absolutely wallops the Spartans, I mean, I think that the numbers could climb quite a bit. But yeah, I mean, it would be interesting to see if you put Cade in like Ohio State's offense or Penn State's offense or even Michigan State's offense with a bunch of threats in the passing game, I think the numbers are a lot better. I think he definitely could put up bigger numbers. But I mean, Michigan, again, we've talked about this a lot this year, and Josh Gattis mentioned it yesterday, that they haven't received consistency from the receivers this year, whether it's because of injuries or guys just not really kind of evolving much since the start of the year. It's seems like one game, a guy has a breakout game, and then he either gets hurt or is quiet again after that. So I think it's definitely not all on Cade is the reason why his stats might be eye-popping, because, yeah, the pass-catching talent is not as deep as it has been at Michigan in the past.
It's a great point. Maybe instead of looking at it as Cade bringing the offense down, he might be elevating it with what he's got around him. Obviously, it's Haskins on the ground and, you know, Corum earlier in the year, but yeah, and that's another thing to watch. No word on whether Corum will suit up in this game, or is the hope just rest up and hope he's ready for Ohio State?
I'd be truly surprised if Blake Corum suits up for Saturday's game. Mm-hmm. And then that doesn't necessarily mean he's not ready to. I don't really know. They haven't said much about his status or anything the like. But, you know, in a game that they're projected to win without him pretty easily, I don't know if you want to risk re-aggravating whatever, you know, that high ankle sprain is with Ohio State, you know, looming. I think they can get by just fine with Hassan. We saw that Saturday against Penn State. They can do that. They are probably going to need someone to step up in the passing game, as Ryan mentioned, to help, you know, get some production. But I don't think they need him Saturday. And it would be wise, you know, if anyone who's banged up or, you know, not, you know, maybe less than, you know, 80, 90%, they probably should sit. So I wouldn't be surprised if you see Corum not play. And you may see a couple other guys that maybe aren't less than 100% sit on Saturday as well.
I did text Blake Corum's dad just kind of seeing if I can get an update on his status. And all he said is that he's doing good and he's getting tons of treatment. So again, it doesn't say much, but I wouldn't be surprised if he can maybe return at some point this year. But yeah, I mean, it really wouldn't make much sense to throw him in there against Maryland and even some of the other banged up Michigan guys too, or at least if you get a big lead, you got to be fully healthy against the Buckeyes, man. I know it's tough to not look ahead, but I mean, this is going to be a colossal game for Michigan and a defining moment of their season. So you got to be healthy for a chance, in my opinion.
We'll get into it more next week, but Michigan is going to need everything to go right against Ohio State, I think, to beat them. And they're going to have to be effective, not make mistakes, and they're going to need everyone as healthy and ready to go as possible. And I think to do that, you know, if Corum is available to play here in the future, which, you know, indications seem to be that he will, it would be wise to sit him against Maryland.
Ohio State's last Big Ten loss was 2018. Remember that blowout, you know, to Purdue out of nowhere? That was the last time they lost a Big Ten game. Over the last 10 years, they've got all of 4 Big Ten losses.
And how many of those were against Michigan State, or 2 of those against Michigan State?
Didn't check that specifically, but yeah, I mean, I don't know. And I, you know, that leads us to the whole, our Big Ten picks, which we haven't really talked about on this pod much, perhaps because we're in the basement here, the Wolverines guys. We've got Kyle Austin on top, Matt Wenzel, our 2 Michigan State guys just behind him.
I will say the basement is 500. We're not particularly
right. Correct. So, and listen, I'm only 4 back of the lead. You guys are both within 3 games of me. Like, this thing is still wide open. And I did notice, you know, you brought up that Michigan State, Ohio State game. You two are the only ones that are on Ohio State. The rest of us took the points in that. It's a lot of points, 19. But, you know, you guys are on the Bucks to roll there in that one.
I think it was the stat about how bad Michigan State's pass defense was and just how explosive Ohio State's passing offense has been. I'm like, yeah, I just don't see. And look how, like, Michigan and Purdue was able to put up points on Michigan State. Sure. I mean, can you imagine? Yeah, I think Michigan State or Ohio State could definitely put up 50. And is Michigan State going to score 30? I mean, they could.
Yes, I think so. I think yes. I think, you know, look at the Penn State and Nebraska games. They were just a little closer, but there, you're right, they were more low scoring. So if this comes to a shootout, yeah, the gap might widen quickly. The game I'll give our listeners if they want to make some money. It's Wisconsin, Nebraska. Okay. You take those points if you want just a modest payout. You take that money line if you want the big payout. Nebraska's going to Madison and they're going to win that game this Saturday.
Whoa.
Heard it here first.
I don't know about that one. Wisconsin's playing good football. They got a shot to win the West. I don't know about that one. We'll see.
Playing good football, shot to win the West doesn't mean you're playing good football. I mean, come on, anyone can go out there and win the West. But Nebraska's been knocking on the door all season. And I think finally they break it down and actually get a win.
But if there's a team that you need to take the points with, it's Nebraska, because they always keep it close, but they don't end up winning. So might as well take the points and let them lose and still win the bet. But yes. Hey man, you do you.
Yes. But only Kyle and I actually did in that one. And I wonder if he was swayed by the fact that in my email, I, in addition to just taking my pick, I noted that they were going to win outright.
Just Wisconsin has one of the best defenses in the Big Ten. Just reminding you guys.
All right. Well, we'll see. We'll see how it all plays out. But yes, it's one of these games. I mean, it's often been Indiana in recent years, like the game before the game. And yeah, I mean, Aaron, I think you're right to dismiss it as a trap game because you're so close to the finish line here that, you know, if you slip up here, that's it. So this game is just as important. It's not as significant. If you could pick one you need to win to finally, you know, get over the hump or whatever, it's of course beating Ohio State. But, you know, as far as your season goals, they go out the window if you don't win this game. So, you know, I look at it more a trap game. Like, I don't know if they were coming off like that Washington night game and they were playing, you know what I mean? Like, it's too late in the year for that. The stakes are too high. So we'll see. Something to watch. 3:30 Maryland. Aaron, you'll be there. Let's talk a little hockey. Okay. We said we're going to talk hoops, football, and hockey. Let's do it here. Ryan, what's the latest?
Latest is Michigan is back to number one overall in the entire country in both national polls. And they're red hot right now, winning 4 in a row. They're scoring at a ridiculous pace. The top scoring team in the league, averaging 4.3 goals per game. And of course, it's been their top draft picks leading the way. I mean, Ken Johnson, 5th overall all pick this year, tied for the nation lead with 20 points. Owen Power, the number one overall all pick, a defenseman, has 18 points in 12 games. They have six guys that are averaging at least a point per game, all drafted within the top 38 picks in the respective draft. So this offense is really scary right now, and they're getting the goaltending. I mean, the one concern I have is that they have played goalie Eric Portillo every single game, and behind him, there's basically zero experience. So they better hope he can stay healthy, because I'm surprised they haven't gotten a backup in at all at this point this season, because you have to see what you have in your backups, because it's not like the pros where you can just go to the free agent wire or pick someone up off waivers as a stopgap. Like, it's whoever you have on your roster, and the guys they have behind Portillo have very little to no experience. So, but yeah, Portillo's been great. Their goaltending's been great. They're scoring a lot. It looks like they're rolling here, and they have a tough test against Notre Dame this weekend for a two-game series at Yost, who has also been red hot. So it should be a fun two-game series. I will be at Friday's game checking them out. So stay tuned for coverage there.
Sounds good. Always appreciate the update. It sounds like the Wolverines are as advertised, given all the firepower we know is on this roster. All right. Well, thank you all for listening. We'll have more coverage of Michigan football, Michigan basketball, Michigan hockey on MLive.com/Wolverines.